Blog Talk Radio.
But be ye transformed by the renewing
of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just want to submit to you on this sensational supernatural Sunday. That the safest place, my dad, that's what came out. I said the safest place in the whole wide world. I said, wait, somebody might not have heard that. The safest place in this entire world, in the whole wide world, is in the will of God. Hallelujah. We pledge allegiance to Almighty God, whose heart is the Father,
yes,
whose face is the Son, whose voice is the Holy Spirit,
right,
and his hands and feet is the church. And that includes us. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, sir.
love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of the King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of the King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, in our most sacred heart, oh, bless you, Lord. 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 Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of the King, and I love you with the love of the Lord.
I tell you, praise the Lord.
Lord, Lord,
You sing with the choir. Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I heard the loudest one I heard, you know, was Sister Angie. Come on up here, Sister Angie. Come on up here, Sister Angie. I got something for you. Where are you? Hallelujah. Bless you. Don't put them at door now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the Bible says, God bless you now. The Bible says, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. The memory of the just is blessed. Where is that found?
10:07.
Hallelujah. Come on now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. You know, I war cry. You know, it's good to have a war cry. You go into battle, you need to have a war cry. What's the war cry?
I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Jesus is Lord.
Who said that? Come on now. Yeah, go ahead, John. All right. See, you got to say it with attitude, though.
I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Jesus is Lord.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know that there's some folks that say, well, Pastor Peter is supposed to be given a housekeeping suggestion, but see, she's worried about that right now. Hallelujah. So we're going to let her slide. There was some snow on the ground quite recently, right?
Yeah.
So he's sliding that. So we're going to ask if there's the snow on the ground, we're going to let her slide. You know, there used to be a dance way back when, called the slide. I know y'all don't know about that. Okay. All right. That's right. Y'all been in church all your lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to leave that alone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. One of our scriptures, foundation for this church is?
Jeremiah 18:1-6 and Romans 12:2.
Well, two people, come on down. Hallelujah. 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 You see, y'all don't know, but it's good to know.
Amen.
The word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. It's good to know the word of God. Hallelujah. Because the word of God says, that the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Where is that found?
That is found Psalm 119:105.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody's been looking up in the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, life is an open book text. Mm-hmm. And you know what the book is, right? That's right. The B-I-B-L-E. Hallelujah. Now, how many times is the word Bible mentioned in the Bible?
None.
Who said that?
Me.
Come on down there. Another winner today. This must be your day. Lord have mercy. The Bible means library. Because how many books in the Bible? Who said that? Oh, now. Hallelujah. Somebody said 66. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many in the Old Testament? Come on.
No.
Oh, we're going to leave that alone. 39. Okay, how many in the New Testament? Now, that's the last question.
27.
Come on now. Yeah, we're having a good time in the Lord. Let's say
Well, why are you doing it? Why not? Look here. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needing not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Where is that found?
2 Timothy 2:15. Come on now. Come on now.
I'm right now.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah.
The
Thank you,
Lord.
So this is one. How many times in the Bible does it mention that Christ would be born in Bethlehem?
A lot, none.
It has to be at least one time because it's prophecy. 72 times, y'all.
What?
Yes. Hallelujah.
I know that.
I don't know.
The
72 times.
The question was,
how many times is it mentioned that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem? Now, he says, give me one or two of those. Okay, let me help you. I'm going to tell you how I remember. Micah 5 and 2. Mm-hmm. I remember that because Ray Lewis' number is 5. And 2. I told you to hang something on to what you're trying to learn. That's right. And the next one, who said KB, my mama? 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Nope, excuse me. 2 Corinthians 4 through 6. You said, now, how did you remember that? Well, I just remember 2, 4, 6. And I just took that Corinthians in there, 2 Corinthians 4 through 6. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
And you can remember stuff by hooking something else onto it. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Life and death is just the power of the tongue. Where is that sound? Okay. Don't they all speak at one time? I can't. Proverbs 18:21. See, women are considered adults at 18. Men are considered adults at 21. There you go. Isn't that interesting? You can remember it that way. Hook something else to it. Oh, that's a teaching. See, Pastor Peaches was supposed to be talking now. But since she's not here, I'm doing my thing. Is that all right? I got about 2 more minutes. Is that all right? Of course. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. Glory to God. Sister Angie, that was you that time. I like Sister Love You More Hush.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God bless you. There you go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think I do one more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are what you think. Where is that down? You are what you think. Mm-mm-mm. You are what you think. Oh, yeah, y'all can do this at home, too. And you need to write down the answers just in case you don't know it. Pastor Peaches, come on into the room. And just, Proverbs 23:7 is correct. All right. I guess he's still tied up. Somebody loose her and let her go. Bless the Lord. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Hallelujah. Well, right now, we're going to flip to another segment. This is Fourth Sunday. And what happens on Fourth Sunday?
And before they march up and do their thing, I got to put the music on. So y'all just give me about 30 seconds, y'all.
Take them to church and give them peace.
Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give him the highest praise. Let's say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're so happy and excited that the good news you serve has a space in the place of the house of God.
Hallelujah.
And if we train up our children in the way they should grow, Proverbs 22:6, they will not depart. We praise and thank God for that. And in the Good News Youth Club, we're training our children. All the little children, all women. Excuse me for a second. A little child shall lead them. That's Isaiah 11:6. Our children know these verses, and they say this, and they rehearse it all the time. And the things that we teach them, we start with the pillars of wisdom, because they need to have wisdom as they go to and fro and go to class, go to in the playground and in their homes and neighborhoods, as they live with other people. We teach them, one, have a coachable, teachable spirit, and two, a burning desire to be excellent and to please God. Number three, have a willingness to work and go the extra mile. And number four, a heart of integrity and honesty. And number five, and have a loving heart. Number six, a forgiving heart.
Amen.
And number seven, a giving heart. These are the principles that we teach them. My other name, Elder QB, one. The other one is Grandma QB, because we teach our children together. Because it takes all of us.
Yeah.
We are bookend. Your home, church home. Our children are precious to us. So we have to act like it. Give them the time. Give them the time. And then we have five levels of knowledge that we teach them. We need to learn knowledge, the reveal knowledge, the activity knowledge, the modeling knowledge, and teaching knowledge. These are principles that we can teach. If they can learn, they can listen, teach it to them. That's our responsibility, to do a plant seed into our seed. They're precious to us. That's the next generation. So go to work. Don't take a coffee break. And then we have some letters that we have taught them, even the ones that are very good. And those are T-S-D. T means to take. Don't take anything that's not yours. And S, don't say anything that's not true. And D, don't do anything that's what? Which is a don't that's not right. These are the things we teach our children. If we teach them this, going out the door, coming back in, praying over them, having nightly prayers with them, pray over them as they go out the door to school, letting them know that they're special, valuable, because the world has another story for our children. If we do our job, they will have something to combat it with when the world comes up against them. If you give them nothing, they're more receptive to take it. So give them something to fight with. The word of God. The word of God will not fail them. If you bring them up in a home, in a loving environment, where they're respected as children, that they're recognized and they're treasured, and you're telling them the word of God, that Jesus loves you and I love you too, taking out to them, they will know that when the world comes up against them, they've got something to fight with.
Amen.
In their heads, in their hearts, and in their mouths. Because as we teach them the word of God, tell them and show them where it's found in the word of God.
Amen.
Our children are our future. And today our youth have made some little snowmen that have TSD on, which says, don't take it if it's not yours. Don't say it if it's not true. And don't do it if it's not right. So we'll be passing this out among the people here at the church. This is your little symbol. You know they always make a little something so you can remember the word of God. So you do something on purpose to help them remember the word of God too. As you hug them and pray over them, tell them that they're special, let them know that you love them. Give them your ear. They want to hear from you. Give them your time. That's something that you can't wrap. But it's the best present you can give our children. Sow a seed, and you'll grow a tree. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you. man again. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. And I know there may be some new listeners that wonder, what is the Good News Youth Club? That's Children's Church Plus. And ever since the Good News Youth Club has been established, they've had 4 Super Saturday events.
Yes.
2 at the Lexington Market, 1 at the Broadway Market, and 1 at Cox Point Park. And God has blessed richly every event. And we thank God for that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Yes,
and the best is yet to come. Thank you, Elvis Keeby, and the Good News Youth Club.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I usually ask Pastor Peaches, what time is it?
Holy Communion time.
If y'all didn't hear that, she said Holy Communion time.
Hallelujah.
It's the meal that heals. It's the meal that gives life, preserves life, and revives life. Hallelujah. We thank God for the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We thank God for the confirmation meal of the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Many people all over the world may call it by different names, but it's still the confirmation meal of what Christ did for us, y'all. It's the meal that heals. And we lift up the elements of Holy Communion right now. And Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the elements. We ask that you would bless, anoint, and sanctify the elements. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Our text on today is found in 1 Corinthians, 11th chapter. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Verses 23 to 30, hallelujah. In the text on today, hallelujah, it says to examine your neighbor.
Yourself.
No, the pastor.
Yourself.
The pastor's wife.
Yourself.
Your mama, your daddy.
Yourself.
Examine yourself. And we need to get it right, y'all. Hallelujah. And we do so in the light of the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Minister Jerry's not here. He's in rehab or recuperating, but he would kind of make a comment every time I would say, when I was a little boy, at Doswell Temple, Doswell Cathedral, when they said Holy Communion time, we examined ourselves. So we want to check ourselves up because we felt that if we had something that wasn't right in us, the floor would open and swallow us, or we'll just drop on the floor. So we're going to do that together, y'all. Not that the floor is going to open if you don't get it right, but we're going to do it together. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we repent of everything we said, done, and even thought that was displeasing in your sight. Please forgive us for every sin of omission and commission, as we forgive everyone of everything they've ever done to us, whether real or imagined. We thank you, Lord, that their names are now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We forgive ourselves. We hold no grudges, no resentment, no guilt. Hallelujah. Sometimes we forgive everybody, but we don't even forgive ourselves. We are harder on ourselves than anybody else. We got to forgive ourselves, too. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, in the text of the day, it says to examine yourselves, and we just did that, but we're going to do some more in the light of the Word of God. Isaiah 53:5 says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Thank you, Jesus, for those shaped in the air. 1 Peter 2:24b says, hallelujah, with his stripes we were healed. Thank you, Lord. If we were healed, we are healed. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 9:22b says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Thank you, Jesus. And Revelation 1:5b says, he washed our sins in his own blood. Yeah. Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14, Matthew 26:28 says, we have redemption through the blood. It's through the blood that our sins are forgiven. So we comprehend, we fully aware, we do understand what the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, in the text on the day, it also says that he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to themselves. And for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Well, Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed be God the Lord. We are taking communion worthily because we rightfully discern the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Therefore, we're eating and drinking blessings to ourselves, strength to ourselves, healing to ourselves, life to ourselves. Deuteronomy 30:19b says, I set before you life or death. Blessed is the curse. Choose life that you and your children shall live. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 118:17 says, you will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Numbers 23:19. God, you said that you're not a man that you should lie, neither the son of man that you should repent. But everything you said, everything you've spoken out of your mouth, you shall perform it. Thank you, Jesus. And Isaiah 55:11, your word will not come back void, but it will accomplish, it will prosper in which you were sent. We thank you for your word on today. Thank you, Jesus. And there's one thing you put above yourself. Hallelujah. It's your word, Lord. Mama Boko Shakara. Psalms 138:2 says so. Hallelujah. And on the same night in which the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and declared, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together. We thank you, Lord, for our healing already. St. Luke 4:18-19. Isaiah 61:1-3 declare, you want to heal us everywhere we hurt. Thank you, Jesus. You are Jehovah Rapha. You're the God that takes sickness from the midst of your people. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We bless your name today, Lord. So, Lord God, Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for healing every area of our lives, spiritual, emotional, physical, social, and financial. We thank you, Lord, for healing every system of our body, the alimentary system, the cardiovascular system, the endocrine system, the genital system, the integumentary system, the musculoskeletal system, the nervous system, the respiratory system, the urinary system. We thank you, Lord, for healing from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, from inside out and outside. We thank you, Lord, for supernatural creative miracles right now all over the world, in here and everywhere, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, glory for bodies coming in line with the word of God. Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. Cancers disappearing, tumors dissolving. Hallelujah, glory to God. High blood pressure coming to normal. Glucose levels coming to normal. Thank you, Jesus. Bloodborne pathogenic diseases disappearing. New knees, new kidneys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. New hearts, new lungs, new spleens, new livers. Hallelujah. New gallbladders. Hallelujah. New hips. Hallelujah.
courage, thy God. New toes, new feet, new hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. New eyes. Thank you, Jesus. New ears. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Lord, praise your KDD, Mama. Hallelujah. Your word says, Christ said, KDD. Hallelujah. Matthew 15:26. Glory to God. First John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mama, thank God. Hallelujah. St. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Galatians 3:26 and Psalms 100. We are your children and the sheep of your pasture, and healing is the better of your children. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to say, I receive your healing right now in Jesus' name. Who do you say, Mama, God, that's how we will say, hey, hey. Thank you, Jesus. We send the word to heal right now. Psalm 107, verse 20. We send the word to heal. Hallelujah, Father God. Hallelujah, Father God. We remember you, Lord. We remember you, Lord. And on the same night with the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took also the cup. And on the same night with the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took also the cup. And when he had given thanks, we thank you again, Lord. He declared, this is the New Testament in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's drink together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is already on the doorposts and lintels of our hearts. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is already on the doorposts and lintels of our homes. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13 and verse 23. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26. God, you said, to bring us and bring me in remembrance that we may plead together and that we may be justified. And we thank you, Lord, that we are justified by the completed works of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we boldly say what you said. God, you said. God, you said, God, you said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And none of the diseases, hallelujah, the disease of Egypt and of the world shall overtake you when I see the blood. We thank you, Lord, for seeing the blood of today. We remember you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ already covers our homes, our families, our loved ones, our jobs, our ministries. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. We thank you, Lord, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ already covers our past, present, and future sins, our mistakes and mistakes, our faux pas and failures, our dust. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. May your head above all shall God have our. Ooh, yes, Lord. Mama, boko, shake, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ already covers us as we sleep, as we travel in vehicles throughout the land, as we work and pray, as we walk and talk, as we worship and praise. The blood of the Lord covers. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost, in the spirit of Elijah the Tishbite. Thank you, Lord. That the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ already decimates, annihilates, eradicates, discombobulates, nullifies, brings to naught, makes to naught effect, brings to nil, reverses, eliminates, utterly destroys every curse against us and our family, every spell, every hex, every blessing. We call down the fire of heaven in Jesus' name on every curse against us and our family, every spell of the hex and the vexing. Fire in Jesus' name.
The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. We thank you, Lord, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ already undoes, unties, severs, cuts, breaks, nullifies, brings to naught, makes to naught that brings to nil, reverses, eliminates, utterly destroys every ungodly soul tie. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. Shakuria Mama, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Holy Communion on today. Hallelujah. We remember you, Lord. And because of who we are and whose we are and what we are, we boldly share our family daily confession on today. We speak to every man, woman, boy, girl in our families and our fullness families according to Job chapter 22, verse 27 and 28, Romans 4, 17, 2 Kings, the first chapter, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. We decree and declare that we are mighty men and women of valor, faith in the image of God, full of integrity and truth, mighty thinkers in Jesus' name, lean, clean, spiritual kingdom machines. We know who we are from God's perspective, and we're not intimidated by anything in this life. We're kingdom citizens. We're powerful ministry gifts. We're gifts to the ministry of health. We're brilliant. We're awesome. We're amazing. We're intelligent. We're powerful. We're perfect. We're strong. We're mighty. We're great. We're beautiful in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now to him who's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, in Jesus' name. Jude 1, verse 24 and 25. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel like getting up and shouting now, but I think I can all just sit right now. See, that confirmation meal is what it's all about. Hallelujah, glory to God. Y'all got to understand that. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless your holy name. Now, Pastor Peaches, I heard you step in. I don't know what if that was a sneak in, or if that was a walk in, or a plant in, but you came in, and that's a good thing. I need to ask you a question.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
I need to ask you a question.
Easy one.
How much is 39,000? Oh, no, I want that very life. Oh, Jesus. What time is it now?
Time for the word.
Well, bless you, God. But who could deny your knock?
Time for the word.
Thank
you, Jesus.
Now.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
I imagine that the speaker is here. Is that right?
Yes. Amen.
And I know the Holy Ghost is here because he was here before they got here.
Hallelujah.
And he brought the Holy Spirit with him, too. Glory to God. And he might have some other folk with him. I don't know. But I perceive his wife might be here. And she said, say amen.
Amen.
Boy, he got the 4x5. Lord, help us today. Let's bless us today. But anyway, glory to God. This man of God.
Yes, yes, yes.
See, y'all don't know this, but he's one of my cousins. Minister Jerry's not here, so I can say this. I need a whole lot of covering to cover me, you understand? I'm bigger than most folks.
It's all right,
though,
baby.
All right, now. I have known this young man probably all his life. I don't know, because I think I was here a few years before he was.
I think so, too.
Wait a minute now. What you talking about, Willis? Oh, Willis. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, he's been a man of God.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you.
He's been a friend.
Thank you.
He's been a bonus brother for the longest time.
Hallelujah.
He's been somebody that I could call. I get the truth from. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Thank you, Jesus.
Sometimes you call some folks and they give you what they think you want to hear, and not necessarily the truth. I thank God for I can call somebody else and get the truth, whether it hurts me or not.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I thank God that I can call on somebody I know that God is in God.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've known him for a very long time. And I've known his wife for even longer, I think. Yes, indeed. I don't know, well, not really, because he's older than she is. Well, what do you know what I'm talking about? I knew her because she's family.
Amen.
She said, well, both of my family, but she blessed family. That's right. She's not only your mama is my first cousin. Anyway, I just want to let this awesome bishop know. That you can use 10 minutes or 10 hours. It don't matter. Because I'm home, you know. I'm going to be many times in anywhere. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'm fine. Is that all right? But I take pleasure.
Amen. Yeah.
In this mighty man.
Thank
of God. To have the honor of introducing
Amen.
Him to some and presenting him to others.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because I know we're going to hear from God.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you.
I know we're going to hear from God.
Thank you.
So without any further ado,
yeah.
I need everybody,
yeah.
if you're able to stand on your feet and say a hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, for Bishop Dwight Smith,
application that we can apply it to our lives, that we can go from glory
to glory and from grace to grace. For your word tells us it does not yet appear what we shall be, but this one thing we do know is that we shall be like you, for we shall see you as you are. So we thank you in advance for what you're going to do by the power of your word in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed and said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you for a few moments from the gospel according to St. Matthew. And I'm going to begin in chapter number 16, around verse 13. And just before I do get into the word here, I just like to share just a few things. How many of you know that the Bible says that it was in the fullness of time God sent his son born of a woman? Amen? How many of you know the Bible says there's a time and a season given to every purpose under the heavens, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So everything has a time and a season to it.
Yeah.
God didn't send Jesus early because he needed a certain time and he needed certain things to be in place before Jesus arrived there.
Yeah.
Amen? And so Jesus didn't come during the time that the children of Israel were in Egypt. They didn't come when he didn't come when they were under Babylonian captivity. He came when they were under the captivity of the Roman government. Why? Because Rome at that time was ruling what was the known world. And Rome ruling what was the known world had devised avenues whereby they could travel from place to place. So they took the salt that had lost its savor and cast it down to make roads, Roman roads, for them to travel on, which made it possible for the gospel of the kingdom to be carried. Amen?
Amen.
But Jesus came at an appointed time.
Yeah.
Amen? And so Jesus spent the first years of his life studying the word of God. How many of you know the Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom and knowledge of God and favor? Amen? So he studied the word in order that he could speak the word. Amen? And so there were some things that Jesus was very familiar with and understood. And so as he was, as he reached a certain point in his age, see, he had to get to a certain point in age in order to begin his assignment, because as a Jew, you could not enter to enter ministry until you were at least 30 years of age. All right? And so 30 years of age required him to begin his journey. And so at the beginning of his journey, there was a couple of things that he needed to do in order to carry out his journey. So one of the first things he needed to do was he needed to be baptized. Why did he need to be baptized? John, the Bible says, John the Baptizer, we call him John the Baptist, but he was the baptizer, and he was baptizing men unto repentance. And Jesus comes to be baptized. Now, John understood who Jesus was as he saw him coming afar off, because John said something like this: "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." He says, "He must increase and I must decrease." So Jesus comes to John and he says, "John, baptize me," not baptizing me because of sin, baptizing me that I might fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. And so Jesus came to be baptized to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. And so John says, "I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose your sandals." But Jesus says, "John, suffer it to be so." So John then baptizes Jesus. As John baptizes Jesus, out of the heavens comes a voice: "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." God didn't wait for Jesus to perform a miracle, to preach a sermon, to sing a worship song. He said, "This is my son. I'm pleased with him." And so then the Holy Spirit descends from heaven and upon Jesus and anoints him for service. All right? And so the Bible says Jesus is our sympathetic high priest. He has been touched by the feelings of our infirmities. So Jesus is baptized. He receives the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit leads him off into the wilderness. And so he's led into the wilderness for one purpose. His purpose is to be tempted by the devil. He led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And as he's in the wilderness tempted by the devil, he overcomes the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. And in overcoming those things, it also qualified him to carry out the rest of his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following me?
Yes.
And so there were those who were gathered with him. So he began his ministry by gathering 12 disciples to go with him, to pour into, to teach and to train, so that they would be left to carry out his ministry once he journeyed on. And so he gets these 12 and he trains them and teaches them and pours into them the word of God. Now we can jump into the scripture, because here he has the 12, and he is here in Matthew's gospel, chapter beginning at chapter number 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? So if I was to use a subject, my subject would be, who is Jesus to you?
Mm-hmm.
Who is he to you? All right? So Jesus is unique in that he understood timing. He understood time. He understood purpose. He knew that there were certain places he had to be at certain times and certain points. That's why you heard him say, I have need to go to Samaria. I've got to go to that well because there's a woman there at the well I've got to minister to, because ministering to that woman is going to cause the whole town to receive Christ.
Okay.
And so I've got to get to her. So he understood being in certain places at certain times for certain reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Chapter 16, verse 13. All right? So he understood that. So here we find Jesus comes into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Now, why is it important for Jesus to be in this location at this time? Why is it important for him to ask his disciples this question at this time? See, there were times when Jesus performed miracles that he told people, look, don't tell nobody about this. Don't talk about this because it's not my time yet. Even the first miracle he performed at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, his mother said, Jesus, they have no wine. Jesus said, woman, what have I to do with this? It's not my time yet. See, he said, I have a time and a purpose. And within my time and purpose, I don't want to step out of that, doing things out of season and out of timing and out of purpose, because you can make a mess of things. All right? And so he understood time. And so he says here, he takes his disciples to Caesarea Philippi. Why does he go to Caesarea Philippi? It's difficult to understand that if you're just reading the scripture. But if you understood the Old Testament, and understanding that the Old Testament is a type and shadow of things to come, and if you understood that the Old Testament gave us some history concerning some things, you would know that there was a reason that God sent the flood, not just to save a people, but he sent the flood to destroy the people who were in the world. And the reason he sent the flood to destroy those people in the world was because there were some watchers, there were some angelic beings that had become fallen angels, and the Bible says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair to look upon, and they created a race of Nephilim. They created a race of hybrids, and those hybrids we called, in the King James, they called them gigantes, or it was translated as giants. So there there's a whole race of giants in the earth. And God says this race is not supposed to be there because what they've done is they've corrupted humanity, and no human on the earth at this time, this five, these eight, this family is corrupted. And so he says he looked out in the earth and he found Noah, who was perfect in his generation. That word perfect means to be complete. It means to have everything essential to the whole. Can I say that again? Because most believers say I'm not perfect. But to be perfect means to be complete and to have everything essential to the whole. Can I ask a question? How many of you have Jesus? All right. How many of you have the Holy Ghost? All right. So if you have Jesus and you have the Holy Ghost, then you also have the Father. So that means you are complete and you have everything essential to the whole, because the Bible says God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So you have everything essential to the whole. So God had to destroy these Nephilim. Excuse me. He had to destroy the Nephilim. He had to destroy these Gigantites, because the Bible says there were giants in the earth in that day, and after that, that means they were going to come back again. But he destroys them. He floods the earth to wash them out. But then when you find out where did they come from, there was a place whereby the spirit realm would enter into the world. They would enter into the world through a certain place. And as you go back into history, you find that as they are entering into the world through that place, Jesus had to go to that place. And so he goes to Caesarea Philippi because there is the gate to hell that there in Caesarea Philippi. That's that entry point where spirits would enter into the world. And so he comes into Caesarea Philippi, and as he's there in Caesarea Philippi, he asks, who do people say the Son of Man is? So they want to know, who is this Son of Man? Now, some people would tell you that Jesus is not the Son of God. See, he didn't say he was the Son of God. He said he was the Son of Man. However, if you knew what the Old Testament said, you would know that Daniel prophesied that Jesus, the Son of God, would come as the Son of Man. And so he asked the question, who do men say the Son of Man is? And so some say you're Jeremiah, some say Elijah, others say one of the prophets. Now, Jesus was not intimidated by what another person thought of him. You know, he didn't care about the naysayers. He didn't care what they were saying. He didn't care how they thought of him. He didn't care how they perceived him to be. His concern at that time was who his disciples understood him to be, because see, the disciples did not fully understand Jesus's purpose. They didn't understand the reason he came. They knew that they were to expect a Messiah, and what you see, they actually thought, because of the Old Testament scriptures, that there would be two Messiahs, Ben Joseph and Ben David. Ben Joseph meaning there would be a suffering Messiah, and Ben David meaning there would be a ruling king. And so when Jesus came, they expected him to be a ruling king. They expected him to be what? A ruling king. And so what they expected was that he would come and he would overthrow the Roman government and set up the kingdom, because the scripture had prophesied that the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from beneath his feet, until he who comes to whose it is. Right? And so Jesus asked the question, who do men say I, the Son of Man? And some say John the Baptist. He's not John the Baptist. John the Baptist was his cousin. Mm-hmm. And so he said he's Elijah. Why? Because they was expecting Elijah to come. The Bible says that Elijah would come before that day. And so you see, even in every household of the children of Israel during the time, what we call, as we read it, calling the Last Supper, they would sit down at the table and they would have two extra cups and plates on the table. They would have one cup because they was expecting Elijah to come, and that would be the cup for Elijah. They'd have a second cup, which would be the Messiah's cup. That would be the cup for the Messiah. And when they would sit down to eat, the children would run to the door and they would look to see if Elijah or the Messiah was coming, because they were expecting him or them to come. And so some say, you're Elijah. Elijah love Elijah because Elijah was a bold guy. Elijah had what the Jews call chutzpah. And now he was crazy because he was the type of guy who would say he knew who he was in relationship with his God. So he was the kind of guy who would say something like, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. He had that kind of power and authority with himself. He was the kind of guy who said, if God be God, let him answer by fire and expect the fire of God to fall. That's the kind of chutzpah he had. So I love this guy, Elijah. But there was still another guy, Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Why? Because Jeremiah was a crybaby. But he cried because the children of Israel were always in sin, and they would not receive the word of God. And they were all prophets, but Jesus was more than just a prophet. He says, okay, that's okay about what they say, Jesus says. It's all right that they're saying I'm Elijah. It's okay they're saying I'm Jeremiah. It's okay that they're saying I'm John the Baptist. But what about you? Who am I to you? Who do you say I am? And so as he's asking this question, I imagine his disciples are looking at each other, and they probably got a couple of them huddled together and say, what do you think about it? Who do you think he is? How about you? What do you think? Is he the Son of Man? Is this the one? One of the disciples said, is this the one or should we look for another? You know, they not knowing really who he was because they only expected him to come in one way. They didn't really realize and know who he was.
Come on now.
And so Jesus replied, he asked the question, who do men say that I am? And then there is Simon who is the son of Jonas. All right, Simon, the son of Jonas. Simon, the name Simon means leafy. It means flaky. Simon is the chaff that blows in the wind. And so Simon was the kind of guy that would say something this way and then turn this way. He would go whichever way the wind was blowing. There are those who say Simon had what they would call foot and mouth disease. He was always putting his foot in his own mouth. But Simon, son of Jonas, answered. And Simon says, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God.
Yes.
Simon recognized something. What did he recognize? He recognized that there was the whisper of a sound coming from heaven. And that sound connected with his spirit. And connecting with his spirit, he realized that he's not just a prophet, that he's not Elijah or John the Baptist, that this is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He recognized that this is the Messiah. This word Messiah means the anointed one, but it means more than the anointed one. It means the anointed king. Simon says, you are the anointed king, because see, they was expecting him to take over the throne. Hallelujah. So he recognized that you're the Messiah. You're the anointed king. You are the Son of God. Jesus turns to him and he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonas, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. In other words, you didn't get this hanging with the guys on the basketball court. You didn't get this in the pool alley or the gym. This is something this could only have come to you by the Spirit and the presence of God. You couldn't get this any other kind of way. This kind of revelation only comes by the Spirit of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. For God had revealed it to him, and Jesus realized that. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, he said, this comes from my daddy.
Hallelujah.
This comes from my daddy, acknowledging where he came from. See, when he said, my Father in heaven, what he's doing is making himself equal with God. What do you mean making himself equal? It means that if that's my daddy, then I'm carrying his DNA. And if I'm carrying his DNA, then I'm just like he is. And if I'm just like he is and he is God, that means I'm God also. And so Jesus says to him, Simon, son of Jonas, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, and I say unto you, that thou art Peter. Jesus changes his name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may think that's a little thing, but if you understand, the name of a thing defines its character. And when you're dealing with the name of a thing and you're dealing with the character, understand that Simon means flaky, and he changes his name from Simon to Peter, which means Petros or rock. It means there's a stability that just came there. He's now stable in who he is. He's not no longer tossed and driven by the wind. He's now moved to a place of stability because he has come to know and hear the sounds that come from heaven. See, there are sounds that come from heaven, and God is speaking. And when God is speaking, when we tune our ears in, to hear from the Holy Spirit will quicken our spirit, and we will know that this too is a word from the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my ecclesia. He says, upon the rock, upon this revelation. See, it takes a revelation to know who Jesus is. It takes revelation to know who God is. And nobody can know who he is without and apart from revelation. See, when God started the book of the Bible, in Genesis, he just introduced himself as Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. He didn't go into details about his character, his intrinsic nature. He didn't tell us that he was omnipresent, all-powerful. He didn't tell us that he sees all, knows all, and that he's everywhere present at the same time. He just told us that he created all things. But as time went on, he began to unfold his intrinsic nature to us. The intrinsic nature is the unchangeable nature of God. He began to reveal to us who he is in his unchangeable nature. And so one time he had to talk to someone who was dealing with a condition in their body, and he said, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the God who heals you. I am the God who mends you back together. I'm the God who recreates body parts. Somebody was in a need, and they said, you are Jehovah Jireh. You're the God who sees. You're the God who provides. He began to reveal his character. He began to reveal his nature. He began to reveal who he is. But the Bible says that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. He is the exact representation of God. And when we see Jesus, we see God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says, upon this rock, I will build my ecclesia. The word ecclesia is the word used for church. It's not a new word. It was a word used by the Roman government. How did they use it? Well, the Roman government would use that word in this way. The king would choose 12 men, and he would take those 12 men, and he would sit them down, and he would give them his heart and his mind to governing and ruling the kingdom. And so what would happen is he would prepare the ecclesia. Why? Because there was an envoy, an apostolic emissary, a captain of a ship who was an apostle, and the apostle would go into regions and areas, and it, with the military, they would capture that area, and they would make that area Rome. And when they captured it and made it Rome, then they would send in the ecclesia, who would go in with the Roman government, and they would begin to implement the government and the policies of that government, so that land would be just like Rome. I don't think you understand what I'm talking about, because you see, the reason you were chosen for the kingdom of God, the reason you are called the ecclesia, the church, is because God chose you out of the world so that you would go back into the world, and so that you would minister to the people in the world, and that you would make them come out of the world and become a part of the kingdom as well. Our prime minister wins souls for Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So he says, upon this rock, I will build my ecclesia.
Thank you, Jesus.
And remember I said he came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the location. There was the location that the spirits would enter. Y'all remember the story about the man who had the legion?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. a legion being a Roman legion could be anywhere from 10 to 20,000 soldiers. So when you talk about this man had a legion of demons who had possessed him, you're talking between 10 and 20,000 demon spirits that had taken up residency on the inside of this one man. And even when Jesus came by, the man, the demons in him spoke because they recognized Jesus. Yes, they said, we know who you are. Do you come to torment us before our time? See, even the demons understand that they're only here for a time, and then after that time is up, they will be tormented. Even the fallen angels know that they have a time when they will be tormented. Even Satan knows that his time is short, and he will be tormented. Why? Because the Bible declared that God prepared a place just for them, the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. We call it hell, but it's fire and brimstone, and he says there will come a time when they will be cast into that lake that burns with fire and brimstone. They'll be eternally separated from God, and they'll burn in that place. But Jesus is there, and so he turns to the place, and he says, and upon this rock, what rock? The rock of the revelation. He says, upon this rock, I will build my ecclesia, and the gate, those gates right there, the entrance point that Satan comes and to the earth, the entrance point that these spirits are coming in, the entrance point that the fallen angels are coming in this area, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Can I tell you that there is nothing that goes in the world that has power over the church? Satan's power is he might be powerful, but we have authority, and we have authority over all of his power. God says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. So if that can make a difference how much power the demon has, you have more power. It doesn't make a difference how much power the fallen angel has, you have more power. He didn't give it to government. He didn't give it to the military. He didn't give it to the police department. He gave it to the ecclesia. He gave it to the church. He said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you.
Thank you, Father God.
And so Jesus points to the gates. He says, and the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, this place will not overcome you. It will not prevail against you. What he's saying to us is this. See, hell and Hades was known as the place of lost souls. It was the place where souls had been held captive. It was a place where dying folk, they would die and they would be held in captivity. But Jesus is declaring now that those gates will not be able to hold them. Hell and the grave would not hold our bodies down. Can I tell you, because you're born again, because you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can I tell you that you will live forever? Hallelujah. And it doesn't mean after you die, because you don't die. Hallelujah. The very fact that you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you're alive now, you already live forever. The only thing you're going to do is just like you're going to do later on when you get home. You're going to take off those clothes you put on today to get comfortable and maybe put something else on.
Hallelujah.
There's going to come a time when you're going to take off this earth suit.
Yeah.
And when you take off this earth suit, you're going to take off mortality and you're going to put on immortality.
Hallelujah.
The Bible declares that when you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. And so can I tell you that you'll never die. You will never die. I can remember years ago watching the movie Cooley High. And I heard the young man preach, say, the teacher said, what do you want to do, man? What do you want to do? You can do anything in life you want to do. He says, I want to live forever. I will forget that because I heard that and I want to live forever. But I don't know if he ever found Jesus, but I found him. Hallelujah. And I changed that and said, I didn't find Jesus. He found me. I was lost. I was in sin. And he found me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But he said, the gates of hell shall not overcome the church. He says, it shall not prevail against the church. He
says, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom. Anytime you have keys, keys represent your authority. Keys represent the ability to open and to lock. Keys represent the ability to enter and to come out. And so he says, I give you the keys to the kingdom. I'm giving you authority to the kingdom of heaven. I'm giving you authority to the kingdom of God. I'm giving you access. You don't have to stay where you are. You can come out of your situation if you're bound by sin, if you're bound by addiction, if you're bound by sickness and disease. I'm here to tell you that there is a key, and the key is Jesus. Hallelujah. The key is the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm here to tell you that you can utilize that key. And today, if you're not free, he who the Son set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. 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 He says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. He says there's some stuff that you can bind on earth because it's already bound in heaven. See, it's already bound in heaven. Can I tell you that there ain't, and mama said don't say ain't because ain't right. Don't say ain't because ain't right, but there ain't no sickness in heaven. Ain't nobody in heaven sickness. Sis, can I tell you nobody's wearing glasses? Hallelujah. Nobody needs a walk.
Come on now.
Hallelujah. Can I tell you that they're probably the best of their own selves? Hallelujah. I can see myself in heaven, and I believe that when I get there, I'm going to be the best looking me that I've ever been. So I'm going to be back to my days, the days of my youth. The days when I walk cool into the church, and my wife saw me and say, that's my husband. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to get back to that place. Why? Because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because of that. The absence from the body is to be present with the Lord. He said, whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. He said, whatever I loose in the earth will be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. But we've got to be careful that we're not binding what should be loosed and loosing what should be bound.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, I've tried that. I've come home sometimes, and I stick the key in the bottom lock, and I turn it and push the knob, and the door won't open. And then I go up and stick the key in the top lock because Lady Linden unlocked both the top and the bottom lock. And so when I stick the key into the top lock, I got to turn it to open the door. But there are times when I know she's there by herself and I'm expecting her to lock the top lock. I stick the key in the top lock first and I turn it. Then I stick the key in the bottom lock only to find out I just locked the top lock. So you can't lock what you should be loosing because it'll still keep you out. But you got to loose what should be loose and bind what should be bound. Hallelujah. He said, well, I give you power. You have power in the earth. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to get power because he gives us power in the earth. He gives us authority in the earth. He gives us his word and we can declare and decree a thing and watch it be established. He said we can call those things that be not as though they were. He said out of your mouth will come the very words of life and death. Hallelujah. He said you can eat the fruit of your lips. And so what you say is what you have. How you say it is how you feel. If you keep saying, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick, then you're going to be sick. Yes. Hallelujah. You need to learn to say, I am the healed of the Lord. Out of the pain, I'm the healed of the Lord. Ooh, another pain, but I'm the healed of the Lord. And this pain one day is going to leave this body because this body is going to come in line with the word of God. And I'm going to walk in divine help. I'm going to walk in divine healing. Why? Because the word of the Lord says he will renew my youth like the eagle. Hallelujah. And I'm going to get youth. I'm going to get energy. I'm going to get vitality. Why? Because the Lord declared it over me, and I'm declaring it over myself. Why? Because he's given me power over all the power of the enemy.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. And then in verse 20, he said that thing again. It says, then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. He ordered them not to tell anyone. Why? Because his time had not yet come.
Mm-hmm.
See, he only went into that region to make known to the gates of hell who he was. He only went into that region to let them know that they had the authority over the gates of hell. All right? But he didn't go in so that everyone would know he was the Messiah. Even his brother told him, he said one day, he said, Jesus, anybody that's running for public office should be in town in the crowd advertising and politicking.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus says, but my time has not yet come.
Come on now.
See, but when his time came,
hallelujah.
When his time came, he
hallelujah.
Implemented everything.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, we think Judas just decided to go and betray Jesus, but Jesus implemented it. He turned to Judas and said, Judas, it's in your heart. What's in your heart? Go do what you have to do. So he told Judas what to do, and when he gave him the bread, the sop with him, then the Bible says Satan entered into him. So he released his anointing off of him and released him to go do what Satan wanted him to do, because he couldn't be crucified until it was his time. You know, he couldn't die until it was his time to die. The Bible says there were times when they would declare who he was, and the people would get so angry with him. They say that he's blaspheming because he's calling himself the Son of God. He's making himself equal with God. And they would reach down and pick up stones to stone him to death. And I like the fact that he knew he couldn't die till his time. He was right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they couldn't stone him because they could not stone him. Why? Because he could not be stoned to death. Why? Because in his purpose, he had to be crucified. He had to hang on a tree. See, he couldn't come during the time of the Egyptians because they didn't have crucifixion.
Mm-hmm. Come on now.
He couldn't come under the Babylonians because they didn't have crucifixion. See, he couldn't come till later because they implemented crucifixion. And the Bible says, cursed is every man that hangeth upon a tree. He had to hang on a tree. Why? Because he had to carry the curse of your sin and my sin. He had to carry the curse of your sickness and my sickness. He had to carry our sins and sickness in his own body. See, he not only died for our sins, but he died for our sickness and disease. That's why the Bible said that he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. He died that we be healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I ask you the question, who is Jesus to you? Hallelujah. Some people say he's a great man. Some people say he's a good philosopher. Some people say he's a good teacher. Some people say he's a prophet. But I declare that he's more than that. The Bible said he is our sympathetic high priest. Because he has been touched by the feelings of our infirmity. The Bible said he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He is our intercessor, for he's interceding and making prayers for us before the throne of God. And he's more than that. He is the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. He is the great high priest. Hallelujah. He is God, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, in man dwelling. Hallelujah. John said, I saw him. I saw him, and he was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed in a garment down to his foot, girding about his paps with a golden girdle. He says his eyes was as flames of fire, as fire in his feet, as fine polished brass, as if it had been burned in a furnace. He said his hair was white like lamb's wool, as white as snow, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though I was dead.
Hallelujah.
He laid his hands on me and said, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he who was dead and am alive forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Who is he to you? Who is Jesus to you? That's a decision everyone must make for themselves. No one can make that decision for you. Nobody can tell you who Jesus is for you. Hallelujah. You have to make that decision for yourself. Who is he to you? What does he mean to you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does he mean to you? Is he a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Hallelujah. Is he someone you can go to when you're troubled and you're burdened and you're perplexed? And you can cast all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. Who is Jesus to you? Hallelujah. Is he your great physician? Is he your healer? Hallelujah. Is he your deliverer?
Thank you, God. Yes.
You've got to make that decision.
Hallelujah.
Who is Jesus to you? Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the word that has come forth. We thank you for expounding and on this word, Lord God, and giving it to us in such a way that we can understand that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the great I Am, that he is the Messiah, and that we can receive him, and upon receiving him, that he would forgive us of our sin and our iniquity. And the word tells us that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, then we shall be saved. And so we come to you, Lord God, and we ask that you would have mercy upon us according to your loving kindness, according to your multitude of tender mercies, that you would blot out our transgressions,
yes,
and that you would wash us in your blood,
yes,
that you would purge us with hyssop, that you would cleanse us, that we might be found worthy, worthy to lift up holy hands, worthy to praise you, that we don't want to waste any strange fire in your presence. And so we ask, Lord, that you would create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. We receive you as our Lord and our Savior. We give our life over to you, Lord Jesus, and we say, live big in us. Be glorified through us. Teach us how to walk. Teach us how to talk. Teach us how to live so that we would be the mirror that reflects your image in the earth. And we thank you for what you're going to do by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, he spoke to us today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you receive this word today, lift up your hand. Tell the Lord, I receive it in Jesus' name. Tell the Lord, I receive it in Jesus' name. See, you've heard from heaven today. But God wants to know if you receive the word. Hallelujah. Somebody needs healing. Somebody already has been healed by the word. A miracle's already happened in this place and in your home and wherever you are. You may be at work or wherever you are. Hallelujah. Go to the bush that you hear me. Hallelujah. Let's magnify the Lord just a little bit here. Lord God, we bless your man, Lord God. The man of God is what taught the word today. We energize him, Lord God. Strengthen him. In the name of Jesus. What else is he with us? What else is he with us?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah. Oh,
bless your
name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, you're so good to us.
Thank you.
You've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. But you're giving somebody right now to cry out to the Lord.
your personal Savior. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for someone to walk into your healing. Somebody who's standing in the need needs to say, I receive it in Jesus' name. Yes, even at home, where you are, I receive it in Jesus' name. And then expect signs, wonders, miracles, and blessings to follow. Let's give the Lord a wave off.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.